Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Ready for the tax man. I don't know about you, but this time of year is always tough, and it's always a frustrating time of the year. Gather all the information in order to sit before somebody that tells you some things, you know. So it's a lot of, with us, it's a lot of gathering of information. As we were going through everything for getting ready, because our appointment is tomorrow. We're one of those people who do taxes before the year finishes. And so our appointment's tomorrow in Pasadena, and we're going to go lay out our life economically before somebody. And beg for mercy, and and so by faith we do this, but we have to gather a lot of stuff, you know. So I'm going through drawers and filing cabinets and everything that we have in the house. We have a little office in the house, and we pull out the filing cabinets and go through all these filing cabinets. And it was really fascinating because she lost something and she couldn't find something, so she asked me to help. So I'm going through all this stuff, and I ran into a file called Covenant. And it was just so fascinating to me because it's like, if you want to know what that is, it's like a contract with God. Okay, it's what I'm praying and what I'm asking God for. And the things that were in this file went all the way back to the 70s. Things that I wrote down, I had forgotten about them for almost 40 years. And I forgot about them, and I wrote them down before God. You know, a lot of it was things, oh God, we want to pay our bills this month. You know, but there was one piece of paper that I think it was like 1988. And it had about six things on it that were on there that I could not accomplish any of except one. In other words, five out of the six were something that I had to have God get involved in order for it to happen. It just wasn't going to happen any other way. And as I was looking at all of these six things and the date and everything that I wrote them at, I recognized my handwriting. Every single thing was fulfilled. Even greater than I had ever expected. And that was amazing. The only one that was crossed off was the word motorhome. I wanted to have a motorhome. Then I rented a motorhome when the kids were little, and I went back and got that covenant out, and I crossed that one off. I said, I don't want any part of it. The funny thing about it is Debbie and I are looking at motorhomes right now. And it's like, oh my goodness. So I had to get a eraser and erase. But everything on there was something that I had asked God for. Now, stop right here. Before I give you the title of the message, when you're born again, heaven is covered. I want you to hear this. When you're born again, you're going to heaven. You're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever in heaven. There's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no poverty, there's no lack, there's none of that. And I don't know how it all works, it just does. But while I'm here on earth, I asked God during my earth time, going back 40 years, God, here's some things I would like to see done. I'm a child of God. Heaven is secure by Jesus Christ in his blood and his resurrection. Now, I'm going to live here as a husband, as a parent, and I would like to see these things during the course of my life. I would like to see you get involved in them. And as I said, when I wrote those things down, they were all, every single one of them, fulfilled beyond whatever I could imagine. Most people in American churches don't live with a vision for anything beyond a month or two. And that's sad. So tonight, I want to share something with you, if I may. The title of the message is Your Vision for the New Year. Which really is important for us to understand that what you have your heart and your eyes fixed on is going to determine what your future is going to look like. Biblically, I can prove that to you. Let me say it again. What you have your heart and your eyes fixed on will determine the rest of your life. That is an amazing statement. For an example, the children of Israel, if you'll remember them, came out of bondage of 400 years. God wanted to take them into the promised land. God had performed miracles in front of them, but they could not get their eyes off of Pharaoh. They could not get their eyes off of their poverty. They could not get their eyes off of their lack. And they ended up where? In the wilderness, dying. Because they saw something different than what they should have had their eyes on. Another person, for an example, the nephew, if you will, of Abraham. His name was Lot, L-O-T. He had a wife. And when God rescued him through Abraham's hands out of Sodom and Gomorrah, if you remember this, Lot's wife did something after she was warned not to do something. She was warned, do not turn around and look back. Whatever you do, we're going out of this place, this hellhole, and we are not going to look back whatsoever. And if you remember the story, Lot's wife turned around and looked back, and the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. And by the way, just fun thought, I don't know if it's her or not, but archaeologists have found a pillar of salt right where they thought Sodom and Gomorrah was, that was absolutely out of the blue. There's no other salt content in the ground anywhere around it, but there was a pillar of salt there. Interesting. Now, I don't know if it's her or not. I mean, there's no way to check the DNA. It's salt. So anybody and everybody's going to argue with you about that one, but it is kind of fascinating thoughts. You remember people all the time, you'll see people who, for an example, fix their eyes on God, or if you will, heavenward, and found themselves in a place of what? Salvation. In fact, Stephen, in the 7th chapter of Acts, I think it's about verse 55, somewhere along in there, is martyred. And as he's dying, he sees heaven open up. He didn't see his death, didn't see his problem, pain, didn't see anything that happened to him that was unjust. All he saw was heaven. And because he saw heaven, the glories of heaven, the goodness of heaven, that means, opened up to him, and he got to see that. What you and I see has a lot to do with where you're going. If you see the negative all the time, you will end up so discouraged. Trust me, you will never end up in church. You will have to run and have to leave. If you see the bad in everything, if you see the failures of the past, like Lot's wife was looking backwards, whatever it is, if you see things that instead of seeing what you should have your eyes fixed on for a vision of the future. Now, can I say something? In my life, Deborah and I took the time to sit down and believe God for some great things over the years. I remember one time I sat down and had a 7-year plan for church growth. I have it written down back in the 80s. First year was to be this size. Second year, this size. And the 7th year, we ended up at 3,600 people on my plan. The 7th year, when we were here at this church, I didn't even know that I had written that. I had forgotten, but we were somewhere around 3,600 people when this church was 7 or 8 years old. Amazing things happen. Sometimes you need to take a year like today, 2018 that's coming. Sit down if you're married with your spouse, and here's a great word. Ready? Dream. Dream bigger than anything you can do that only God can accomplish. Anybody can dream for things that you can accomplish yourself. Dream bigger, that God has to get involved in it, so that someday when you're older and you look back at it written down and what had happened, it's like a time capsule that's opened up and you see the praises and the glory of God. Which I did over these last few days. Amazed. If you're not married, then just sit with God and plan something. Get a vision for something beyond yourself. That's the key to this. And then hold on to it. Because if you don't hold on to it, you're just going to leave it. For me, I just put it in a folder and put it in a drawer and forgot I even said anything about it. Now, there was a million times the devil tried to run us off from what we were doing and believing God, but we just stayed with God. It's all we had to do, and God brought it to pass. He'll do the same with you. What is it? Is your vision. Your vision can start in 2018. It may not be fulfilled in 2028 or 38, but yet at the same time, it's got to start somewhere where you start to believe God for great and mighty things while you're here on this earth. Heaven has already taken place. Now God wants to prosper you while you're here. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a great big praise. So important for us to see these things. The right vision for the new year. Here's how to do it. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's try that again. It's the right vision for the new year for you. Wherever you're at whatever age you are. If you're older like me, man, don't stop having a vision. Don't stop having a dream. Is when you stop having a vision and stop having a dream is when you dry up and die and you get so small in life that you can only fit into a coffin. Is anybody listening? But if you're young, don't think you're so young. God doesn't care about your age. He's waiting to fulfill the promises. Y'all be writing stuff down like a time capsule. Things that you're believing God for that only He can do and perform for you, because He's a great, mighty, wonderful, loving God who wants to bless you. Here's the first thing you got to do. Are you ready? Very important. Sit down and talk to God about it. First thing is, make a plan. Most people don't even make a plan past 30 or 45 days, 60 days at most. And then most people limit God to the plan. If it's not done within this period of time, it must not be God. Can I tell you, and I've said it a million times, God is not held back by time. He's not controlled by time. In fact, He proves He's God, because God doesn't control time, but God, time doesn't control God, but God controls the time. If time controlled God, then God would be weaker and less important and less strong than time. Time would be more superior than God. So God controls the time. All you need to know is when it comes to pass, man, you will give God His praises. He wants to do something. You gotta make a plan. Write it down. Think about it. Meditate on it. Laugh over it. I remember one time God brought me a house. I ended up giving it to the church. But I remember this house was a phenomenal house. That when Deborah and I bought this house, it was beyond anything I'd ever thought of in my life. And I got out in the front yard of this house and I just started to laugh. And like me and God, if you had driven up the driveway, you'd have said, that man's nuts. Look at him, he's having some kind of a crazy fit out there on the lawn. I was laughing and laughing and laughing, because it's so much fun when God answers prayers. Sometimes we're just too much of a hurry. God wants to answer your prayers. Make the plan. Don't sit back and just look, but make the plan. Proverbs, I'm going to read this out of two things. Out of the New King James says this. Proverbs 29, verse number 18 says it like this. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation. Now, that same word revelation means a plan, insight on something working. He says, the people cast off restraint. Wait a minute. Now, this is an interesting translation. He says, where there's no insight, where there's no revelation, where there's no, another translation uses the word plan. I'll show it to you in a minute. He says, the people cast off, and I love this word. What's that word? Restraint. Why in the world would we need to cast off restraint? Why do we need to be somebody that the people cast off restraint. In other words, you're held back, you're restrained by something. The devil wants to stop you, demonic activities wants to stop you, the world economy wants to stop you, everything wants to stop you from doing anything. He wants to restrain you from everything. And here it comes along and says, where there is no plan or purpose or destiny or purpose in your life, the people cast off the restraint. I need the restraint from the pressures that are on the outside to keep going on. That's what it says. Now look what it says in the old King James. This is the new King James. Here's the old King James. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Man, I'm talking about your future. Listen to me right now, biblically speaking. How do you know God doesn't want to get in and make the supernatural blessed in your life? Wait a minute, do you not serve a God that can do anything? Is he not a God that opens the blind eyes, raises the dead? He's not the one who goes past the grave and raises people from the dead? That's an impossibility. Is he not a God that walks on the water? Is he not a God that speaks in storms still? Is he not a God that can do whatever he wants to do? Is there anything too great for God, the Bible says? And here we come along and we put limits on God for our own personal life. I'm talking about, I'm not talking about heaven because heaven has been taken care of. I'm talking about your own personal life right now, today. I'm talking about your future. This God that I'm talking to you about is a God that can take you out of bondage and bring you into a promised land. Filled with milk and honey. And now translate that. Can I tell you something? Milk and honey meant great wealth in those days. You say, well, I don't care about milk and honey. I don't even like milk and honey. I'm not talking about milk and honey. I'm talking about great wealth. They're just using that as an example of the day and of the hour. Where there's no vision. Listen, sometimes we need to have vision. You see, I had a vision for something, and so did Deborah. We got an agreement over it. We wrote it down on a piece of paper, and then we prayed over it. We put it aside, and we just stuck in there with God. Never thought about it again. Never thought about it again. All I did was I had a vision that God was going to do something great, not just in the church. I had a vision for the church, sure I did. I had a vision for spiritual things, but I also had a vision for carnal things. I was living here in the natural world. I wanted to have a nice house, free and clear. I wanted to have a nice car, free and clear. I wanted to have nice things, free and clear. I wanted to pay my bills easy. Simple things. You say, oh, could God ever really want to get involved in that? You bet he does. He wants to bless you. Listen, I'll prove it to you. When he created Adam and Eve, he didn't put them in a desert and made them suffer. Put them in a garden where everything they had was there for their protection. All they had to do was listen to God and not listen to anything else. All they had to do is keep their eyes on God instead of on other things. That proves right there that God cares about mankind and wants to bless them while they're here on earth, not just in heaven. Is anybody listening tonight? First thing you got to do, you got to make a plan. Second thing, I love this, because after you've made the plan, it does something on the inside of you. And it really is this: knowledge of the vision builds hope. Knowledge of your vision will always build something on the inside of you called hope. So when you have a plan, that's your vision for something. It may not be the ultimate vision of your spiritual walk with God, but it may be just a natural vision for your home or your family or your children, your finances, your dreams. May not be just, you know, it might be just that vision for your carnal feelings, which God is not against as long as you're serving him, blessing you in. You need to understand that. I said, as long as you're serving him, if you go off in the carnal feelings and let that run your life instead of God run your life, then you're in error and you make a mistake. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. God wants to bless you. And when you get a knowledge of the vision, then all of a sudden something happens on the inside of you, which is hope. A person who lives without hope is a person who has no life. Amen. Can I just say that to you again? A person who lives without hope is a person that has no life. You always have to have hope. I mean, I have to tell you, at my age, it's hard to even find hope. It's like, I know what's ahead of me, and you know what's ahead of me. Well, like what Debbie's dad said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. But yet, at the same time, guess what? I know what's ahead of me, and it's closer to me than it is with you. But here's the point, is that you've got to have hope. Because without hope, you are so discouraged and so frustrated, you'll want to give up. And guess what? You will lose and give up all the restraints that you have against the enemy. And it won't be long before he knocks you off your feet and you're not doing anything. Come on. Somebody has got to have hope. Without hope, boy, we have big problems. Listen to what it says in Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse number 1. In verse number 1 of the 5th chapter of Romans, I love this. Go ahead, pop it up for me. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, is it not true if you're born of the Spirit of God? If you're not, we'll take care of that in a little bit. He says, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a pretty cool verse. Listen to this. Then verse number 2 comes along. Watch verse 2. Verse 2. Through whom, speaking of Jesus, you see the word whom there? It means Jesus. Through whom also we have access. Oh, I love access. How? By faith, unto the grace, sovereign God's sovereign divine ability, get the job done on our behalf when we can't have it. So I have access to God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. In which we stand, there's a restraint. Remember, he said they cast off their restraint. There's a restraint. We stand and rejoice. Why do we rejoice? In this word, two of them. In hope. What for? For the goodness of God. Because, I like this, verse number 3. It says, not only that we also glorify tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces, what's that word? Perseverance. So we have perseverance, but also perseverance, character. It produces character. And then you find yourself that character produces something else. What's the word? Hope. We need to be a people filled with hope. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but His grace is going to come and make it happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God's going to open doors that no man can open and close doors no man can close. I can't do it, but He can. It's not my strength. It's Him that's going to open the doors. It's Him that's going to make it happen. It's Him that gives me the favor. It's Him that builds the things. It's Him that causes it. I'm just a dummy following Him. Guess what? At my age, everything I've ever believed God for has come to pass. Is that amazing? I'm standing before you as a living witness, testimony, to tell you how it ought to be. I don't care what other people say to you at all. What other people say isn't important, but what God says is important. After verse number 4 comes verse number 5, and this is where the revelation comes in. It says, now hope does not disappoint. You know why? Because when you got hope, it does something. It fuels your faith. Is anybody listening? Hope does. See, I've got to have hope. How do I get hope? By having a vision. How do I have a vision? Knowing that God's the one by His grace going to cause it to pass. All I have to do is restraint. What's that mean? Stand and keep on standing. Come on, somebody. One thing that Debbie and I did is we kept on standing. Man, we get knocked over, we get a heck up. We get knocked over, we got back up. Didn't know how we're going to make it. Got knocked over. People told us everything you can think of. They cussed us out. They called us names. They rejected us and they did everything you can possibly think of. Tears ran from our eyes on a constant basis, but we just kept on standing. The restraint was there that brought the hope that brought the endurance. The endurance was something that stood there and made it work. My goodness, and hope will not ever disappoint you because it's God's grace behind the hope that brings it to pass. And it's so true for all of us. And I made a statement which brings us to point number 3 about understanding our vision. And it's important because hope enhances faith. So you see, hope is like the blueprint that faith goes to work on.
And it all started with a vision. You can't have hope without a vision. In other words, you have hope in silly, empty air stuff. Write it down. Make it clear and plain. Talk to God about it. He'll correct you if you're asking for stuff that's contrary to your life. But you hang in there and watch God do it. Here's what I found. God took everything I said and multiplied by 15 and made it that good. He didn't want to just give me what I thought. He wanted to give me what he thought. Isn't that great? That's God. Come on, somebody. He didn't want to give you what you think. He wants to give you what he thinks. You know, I thought I was only worth this much. He thought I was worth a whole lot more. Is anybody listening? So hope enhanced faith. Remember Abraham? Here he is. He's 100 years old. God speaks to him about having a child. Never had a child with Sarah. The Bible says that Sarah's womb is dead. The Bible says that he was, man, I'm telling you, he was so dead himself, blue pills wouldn't have helped him. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Wouldn't have helped him a bit, you know? And I'm here to tell you, when God speaks to him and says, listen, you're going to have a baby with Sarah, she starts to chuckle a little bit. Like, yeah, that old man hadn't been around me in a long time. She's probably saying to herself, I don't know if she did, I kind of just threw that in. Don't go quote me on that. That's not scripture. That's my interpretation of how she probably felt. But all of a sudden, the Bible says something. You know, in the fourth chapter, let's go back to Romans in the fourth chapter. Just pop it up for us and let's take a look at it. Romans, the fourth chapter, it says this in verse 18. Speaking of Abraham, who, listen to this, contrary to hope. Have you ever had circumstances in your life are contrary to any hope? Well, you're a perfect candidate for the miracle-working power of God. But you got to have to understand this, how this works. Listen to this. Who contrary to hope. In other words, there was nothing logical about having hope in what God had asked him and asked her to do. In hope, believed. Even though at times you will be confronted by stuff that absolutely says you're not going to make it, it's stupid for you to think that way. You'll go talk to your relatives, they'll tell you you're foolish. You'll talk to your bosses, they'll tell you foolish. They'll tell you, I know people who tried that and they failed too. You're just going to be stupid and you're going to fail. Can I tell you something? When somebody has hope in God, there is no such thing as failure. My Bible says all things are possible to him who does what? Believes. And here's Abraham who believes in hope. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken to him, so shall your dependence be. Listen, you and I have got to realize this is not a natural thing to accomplish your goals. If it's a natural thing to accomplish your goals, you might as well go out and give it up. Because you're not good enough, you're not smart enough. And you've made too many mistakes in the past. And there's no logical way that you can be successful in the future. But I'm here to tell you, with God, all things are possible. When you take your effort, which is maybe a little, but you're hanging in there, your restraints are up, you're not going to let anybody knock you off course, you're going to keep going forward with God. That's all he's requiring of you. Your restraints are up, you're holding on, you're standing, and you're keeping on standing. And when you just do that, guess what? God will come through for you because he loves you and he wants to bless you. And a lot of times preachers are afraid to preach this to you because they're afraid you might try and get discouraged and quit and not have it. But I'm telling you, never quit. When you quit, it could have been the next day that it could have happened, but you quit the day before. Don't ever quit. You just keep on keeping on. If people call you crazy, let them call you crazy. They probably thought Abraham was nuts. But guess what? We're here because of him. He's the father of faith. Come on, is that great? Because it's not God doing something for you because you're naturally talented or gifted or smart or pretty or whatever. God does something for you because he loves you. And it's his power hooked together with your tenacity in hope that brings whatever it is that you're believing God for into existence. Amen. I talked to a guy the other day, and he says, man, he says, I've always believed to have a house free and clear, but there's just no way with my job. No way in the world I could ever have a house free and clear. Never. He says, I have rented all my life. He's in his late 30s, I think. And then he came up and he told me something. He says, Pastor, you've got to know this. This company came along that builds houses for people, selected me and my family, and built us a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house, free and clear, and gave it to us in Highland, California. And I went, what? You say, that's nuts. Well, that guy got it. I didn't, but he didn't know how. Listen, God wants to do something like that for you, too. You know, how do you know you don't have some aunt that's way off in Tuleyville somewhere? She drops dead and they finally have to search out family before they distribute her fund and find your name. How do you know something can't happen? See, what you do is you restrict God by the natural thinking of man. You can't restrict God by the natural thing. Forget about trying to figure out naturally how it's going to happen. All you need to know, the King of Glory will get involved and he will make it happen. Come on, somebody. It's true. The last one is really important for us, and I like this because this is so good. Number 4, vision keeps its eyes on Jesus. If you're not going to keep your eyes on Jesus through the rest of your life, you will be a person without restraint and you will fail. It's as simple as that. Wait a minute. If you don't keep your eyes on Jesus throughout the rest of your life, you will be a people who fail. Because you will let your restraints down against the enemy that wants to discourage you and cause you to be faithless. Is anybody listening? We need to see that when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, the supernatural takes place. But as soon as you get your eyes off Jesus and get it back on yourself or people around you, things start to fail. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Deborah and I were fixed, helped each other to keep our eyes forward on God. We can do this. We got to keep God in sight. We can do this. We got to believe God. We can make this happen. Man, we didn't have any money when we built this church. We had enough money to pay off the land. We did not have a penny ever outside of it. I said this before last time we were talking together, that the seats you're sitting in right now cost $400,000 15 years ago. We had no money, none. You're sitting in the seats. Hey, listen to this. The air conditioning of this place 15 years ago cost $2 million cash. Didn't have it. How did it happen? God got involved. That's it. When you're coming in here and you're complaining, it's too, first 5 rows, it's too cold in here. So last top rows, it's too hot in here. I don't take, I see all you going like this, but wait a minute. I just want to take you outside and beat the crap out of you. We had to believe God for $2 million to air condition this place so the front rows could be cold and the back rows would be hot and you in the middle are just fine. Someone says, Pastor, you swore. I don't care. I'm too old to care. Vision keeps its eyes on Jesus. This is a story of proves that in Matthew, the 14th chapter. If you could pop up Matthew, the 14th chapter. Well, not yet. Put it on. Take it off. Take it off. Take it off. I'll tell you when. His disciples are out in a boat at night. They're seemingly always about. Jesus said, I'll see you later. You guys go ahead. And they're out there floating around on the Sea of Galilee. And they come out. Jesus decides he's going to go out and meet them. So he walks on the water. And they're like freaking out, man. I'm telling you, if you've ever been out in a boat at night, it's freaky enough. But then, you know, in those days, they didn't have like city lights all around and everything. It's probably really dark out there. And here comes Jesus, and he's just walking on the water. And they say, ah! Here's what they said, the same thing you'd say. It's a ghost! I totally forgot about Jesus, forgot about any faith whatsoever, just totally forgot about everything, you know? And they finally realize that it's Jesus. And Peter, you know, Peter's my favorite. There's no doubt about it. I like him because he's mouthy, just like Debbie. And I like mouthy people. And so I like Peter. He's my favorite of all the Bible people is Peter. And Peter says, it's Jesus. Hey, Jesus, call us out there with you. And Jesus says, come. And the story is very interesting. Let's pick it up now. Pop up that first verse. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Let me say that again. See, you're waiting for the natural to happen. The natural doesn't happen until the spiritual takes over. The spiritual doesn't take over until you give up and start believing. Is anybody listening? So here's, and Peter gets out of the boat and walked on the water. Didn't sink. Bible says he walked. How many of you believe the Bible?
Yes.
Raise your hand, wave it at me if you believe the Bible. 14 of you. And the rest of you, I'm trying to get you to believe. But here it is. He walked on the water. Didn't sink. To go to Jesus. Next verse. Verse 30 says this. But when he saw. Remember the whole thing is you got to keep your eyes on Jesus' vision. During the time, between the time that you pray this, write it down, piece of paper, and the time it comes to pass, you got to do something. You got to be diligent. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because it's not you going to make it come to pass. It's going to be God. Is anybody listening? And he says this, and when he saw that the wind was, what's that word?
Boisterous.
He was afraid. He wasn't afraid when he got out of the boat. He was only afraid when he saw something else different than Jesus. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, beginning to sink. This. Now, wait a minute. I tried to do this. One time Debbie and I had a house, had a pool. It was the first house Debbie ever had a swimming pool. It was the middle of winter. And I'll never forget this. Debbie says, I don't care. I've waited all my life to jump in a swimming pool. I said, Debbie, man, it's the temperature of the water is like 56 degrees. She said, well, 56 is not bad. I can live in 56. I never saw anybody walk on water except Debbie. Man, she jumped in and she started walking on water. It was that cold. You remember that, Mama? I mean, I tell you, she jumped in and she jumped out. That was the coldest thing she had ever seen. I never saw that. She's the only person I ever saw fly out of that pool. She was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. So Jesus comes along. Listen, he's walked up and he's beginning to sink. Didn't say he sunk. Me, I'm sunk in 1.5 seconds. But he's just beginning to go down. Why? His eyes were off Jesus. That's what's going to happen to you in your vision. As soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, start looking at the natural world. Watch this. Verse number 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt? Well, how did he doubt? It's because his restraints were down. He no longer was standing. The elements of the world came at him. And the elements of the world will come at you. I'm warning you. They will tell you you won't make it. They'll tell you it's not going to happen. It's going to tell you. But you hold on to Jesus. Keep your eyes and he will cause you to get back into the boat where you can believe great things. Now, people, please, whether you believe this or don't believe it, don't argue with me about it. I didn't write this Bible. If I wrote this Bible, I would be collecting the royalties. Can you imagine how rich I would be? But also, I want you to know something. I didn't write it. God said it. And tonight, you need to, in the year 2018, start setting some perimeters about what you want for the future while you're here on this earth, and tell God about it, write it down and put it away someplace safe, and then just stay with God. If God spoke to you, come on, give the Lord a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.